This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KSKA.
Killing Me Softly time with the Denver Post's Sean Keeler. Sean, we got a lot to unpack here, my friend. Trade deadline for the NHL coming up tomorrow. The Avalanche have been semi-active already, but maybe you're wanting them to be a little bit more active before we get to that trade deadline.
Well, the short version, and good morning, by the way, my friend.
Good morning.
The short version is I wanted them to buy a Diet Coke, and they bought an RC0. So that's fine. We've got a zero-calorie drink, but it's not the zero-calorie drink that I think a lot of Avs fans wanted. But they got a diet drink. They got what they asked for on the list, just not the who.
Well, and obviously trading for Nick Waugh, you know, sending a first and a fifth round pick to the Maple Leafs. What do you make of that move? I mean, does that move the needle in your mind, or like we said earlier, is there still work to be done for this team?
Well, I think there's still depth work to be done. I think what it was the face. It was the middle road. My column, it's up at DenverPost.com. A very populist take. I know we've talked about it on and off air, and I'm sure you've talked about it with other folks, where it was no secret that the Avs were shopping for a 3C or a 2C or a middle 6C to move Parker Kelly down. Naz Kadri has a very big contract and has kind of made it no secret that he would like to play for a playoff team again after getting paid in Calgary. And the question was, could the Avs make those numbers work and bring Nazem Kadri home? They're not, I don't think. And this watch rate kind of signals that's the end of that. So instead of getting kind of a B center, they've got a C plus, B minus center to put it 3C, who's a good player and it ticks a lot of the boxes. Look, if you weren't gonna, and we can get into the why with Kadri, and basically the short answer there too is his contract and his age. He's due $7 million, not just this season, although I think they prorate that the rest of the way. He's got three more years at $7 million. I can, to he's age 39. I can see logically where the Avs look at that and the Cronkies will look at that and go, no thanks, especially because, we've got to carve out another $9 million for Cade McCarr, his extension in a couple months, to get him locked down long term. Was okay. I think okay to good is a good way to put it. He's a career, I think, 49%, a high 48% faceoffs guy. He's 6'4", 6'3". He's a big body. He does some Brent Nelson things, physically. He's a Golden Knights Vegas veteran. So he knows how to dirty it up. You know, they play physical over there, as you know. They play the trap game. He's got playoff experience. So, again, it's kind of an RC Cola buy when you would have liked to see the Avs go for the Diet Coke. But he's also only got, I believe, a $3 million cap hit. I think Blankenberg, who they got last night, is $700,000 or $750,000. So they, at $10 million room last night, they've still got $4 or $5 million to play with this year and for next, so they're probably not done. So it was a good flexibility move. It just wasn't a sexy one.
Yeah, well, and I guess you're kind of getting that feeling that the Kadri thing is out. But
yeah,
I guess if you were, because I keep seeing another big name for the Avs. I keep seeing Big Val's name up there potentially as a guy they could move. And I suppose if they were to be able to get Kadri with what he would do to the salary cap, you'd have to move a pretty significant piece of what you have already on that roster.
Well, that would be a fascinating arrangement. I can't see Calgary wanting to do that, although Val is such an interesting topic in and of itself, and they essentially made that gamble of having to pick between the two of them 3 years ago.
Yeah,
right?
Sure.
It basically went, he's younger. They both had excellent playoff runs for us. But they're demanding about the same dollar amount, if I'm not mistaken, or I think Kadri wanted a little bit more. The Avs were never going to give him a long-term deal. I think he got 49 for seven. I mean, just really good money for a 2C, and good on him. And he earned it to get that point. But they made that choice. It would be fascinating, although I don't know how likely it is, if, yeah, they've got a center. They don't need Kadri now. But if moving Val for where Val is also wouldn't shock me, because as much as I see him, let's put it this way, the more I see him, the less I see him, if that makes sense. I don't notice that he's there. And the numbers are down. The production is down. I just would be curious who would be willing to take that on, given that there's still some youth, still some mileage, still some upside, and still some risk. He is one infraction away from never playing in the NHL again. I mean, let's just be real about that. So to his credit, it's been a really clean, 18 months, 19 months, and good for Val. He's not quite the same guy on the ice, or certainly production-wise hasn't been there. So, I mean, would Calgary want that, or a third team want that? I mean, keep going. I mean, you've got room. That's the upside. Is right now, if you're simply doing a cap ticker, like I said, we're about $750K, so 3.7 with 10.1, 10.5, or whatever it is to play with. So you've still got six or seven, which, by the way, would still fit a country salary in. I don't know that that's likely, but, you know, if somebody would take Val and you can get a more consistent score at value, and you don't know how Lekkonen's going to be. That injury is makes him a TBD. When that's a good physical, grindy kind of guy, you need grindy guys. You need up the middle, you know, screening guys and you know, do the dirty work kind of guys. And Lekkonen was that. Val could be that and really hasn't. And Kadri's absolutely that. He just doesn't have a very good price tag for his age.
So joining us on the First Advantage Hotline is Sean Keeler from the Denver Post. Sean, a big one tonight in the NBA as the Nuggets getting set to take on the Los Angeles Lakers. First off, and I think I know the answer to this, but it sounds like Aaron Gordon's getting closer. Do you expect AG to play tonight, and if not tonight, tomorrow night against the Knicks?
I'm gonna cop out and say one of these next two. If he doesn't play tonight, he absolutely will play against New York. I was out there Sunday where they left it was should be at the end of this next little homestand. And Watson's not far behind. So we're getting close. So I think you're going to see him at the end of this week. Would that be tonight? I don't know. I think they're going to try. But they also are being super cautious, because the one thing that we've learned for the last 9 weeks is how different a team this looks without a healthy AG. Especially defensively, physically, all the rest of it. So they're going to exercise some caution, because they know what they are without him, and they know what they would be in the playoffs without him, and that's not a title contender. So I think your next 50 hours, 48 hours, you got a shot tonight. We'll see.
It's a very interesting schedule coming up for the Nuggets. The next six or seven games are going to be certainly battles, so it'd be nice to get AG back. It'd be nice to get Peyton Watson back in the fold, too, which sounds like he's not far behind Aaron Gordon.
No, which means you have to make a decision in your lineup about Cam Johnson, obviously. And I wrote about that in Monday's paper, and it's... I don't know. I think you'd be very tempted to sit Cam. I think that's not a great mental message for a guy who's really, really kind of hitting a wall again. And physically, he just looked with that ankle. He was not moving well after the game. You can call it an excuse. You can call it whatever. But he's just not quite 100% there either. And now he's starting to feel and wear the pressure of the idea of, we're slipping now. Like, we should be a two or a three seed, and we're a five. Well, they may be a four now, but I haven't looked actively where we're at. But they're in this kind of very volatile place in the middle of that playoff bracket. And he feels some responsibility mentally. I think they want to give him, if anything else, they might want to give him some time, not just to get physically right, but mentally right, knowing that that was a pretty bad weekend for him, all told. That Thunder game and missing two, was it two open ones?
Yeah, he had some key moments there.
Yeah, that's your job. You know, it's the old meme about one thing. You had one job, right? You had one thing. Cam knows, for all the other good things that he does defensively, court awareness, passing, et cetera, he knows that that's the one job. And I think when you miss on that stage in a game that you probably should have won last Friday, I think that went with him Sunday too, and then it was just awful, and it clearly got the fan base on him. And what you don't want is for it to spill over to toxic, right? Like, I wasn't sitting near enough. I didn't hear a lot of grumblings and mild boos when Cam isn't succeeding, but I don't hear hate from the crowd. And what you don't want is for the home fans to turn on him in any way. And I think the Nuggets know that, and I think they have to be kind of judicious about how they kind of ease him back there too, given that they're gonna need him. You're gonna need all the shooters you can get. Tim Hardaway has met that task for the most part with some slumps. Cam hasn't quite among the new guys. So we'll see where they go on that front.
Sean, let's shift over to the Broncos while we have you here. Obviously, the free agency process really begins. I guess the negotiation window starts on March 9th, and then you can start signing guys on March 11th. You know, we just keep hearing all these names, and then we keep seeing all these guys get tagged, franchise tag left and right, George Pickens, Breece Hall. Do you really see Denver being super aggressive in that first wave? Guys like Kenneth Walker, Travis Etienne, or, you know, maybe a receiver or a tight end position. Do you see Denver potentially overspend on the running back position for a guy like Travis Etienne?
Oh, for the running back position, I don't see them overspending.
Okay.
That's a qualifier. Would they take ETN at value? Would they take him? Because I think he might be. I like Kenneth Walker slightly better, but you can make a good case for ETN being a really good fit for what they want to do. Would you take him simply to keep him away from Kansas City? You might want to, because they're looking around going, we're also on the clock here, and that did not go so well. And they've got a whatever top 10, 11 pick that they know they can get somebody good offensively or defensively as well. I think that had to do a lot with the McDuffie trade, and I think they might want to simply, in the Chiefs, just get another first-round corner and stick him in there. So, yeah, would they spend for a running back? I think they would. Would they overpay? I don't think. Boy, George Payton is just very cold. What he and Sean have in common is they are emotionally cold when they have to, and ruthless about the open market. And they're ruthless about positions where they want to be able to get value. And I'll give you two of them that would explain a lot of their motives: safety and running back. That's why Justin Simmons isn't here, among other reasons. That's why they will be very careful. I would never rule out a Dobbins reunion, but I would rule out something that was going to get Dobbins really seriously paid. I think they want to find value, because they also, very similar to the Avs, know that they have a Kale McCarr of their own, and they're going to have to pay for Bo Nix at some point pretty soon. And you want to hit, obviously, well, you've got a good rookie QB or young QB on a rookie contract, but that rookie contract's going to run out. They're going to want to keep him here long-term, and they're going to have a big, big, big old expense that they're going to have to account for in the next 3 to 5 years of cap room. So you try to make it up somewhere else. Running back is one of those places where you can make it up. So I'd be surprised. I won't rule anything out, but overpay, boy, that's unlikely. Not for running back. Maybe a wideout because they know they need it, but I think they want to try to find value. This is a team that's more likely to overpay, air quotes, for a defensive lineman, a pass rusher, or a run stopper, or somebody of that ilk up the middle of the line of scrimmage than they are for a skill guy, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I'll be really curious to see what they do, and I'm excited about the draft. I know it's a late pick, but still very much intrigued about what this team's going to do. Sean, great stuff as always, man. We know you're all over the Colorado sports scene, all over the Denver scene. So really appreciate your time, and we'll look to catch up with you next week.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, brother.
All right, Sean Keeler, Denver Post. He's really hot on the Avs this week. And although with that move of Nick Waugh, it does look like that's probably not going to make it work with Nazem Kadri, but potentially the Avs could still look to move one of their larger pieces in Ivan Nichushkin. 48 minutes after the hour, Michael. When we come back, I'll wrap up this hour. Also, I want to get to David Adelman and some of the things he had to say about his superstar and how he's being guarded differently than any superstar perhaps in the history of this game. I don't know. Michael Jordan might have a case back in the early 90s against the Pistons, but the league changed when that was happening. Is that going to be the same thing? We'll talk about it. Top stories of the day. I'm getting new. We're refreshing the top stories every second because there's a lot of news out there. And then we got Rams Weekly coming up at 1 o'clock. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe. We'll be right back.
The Broncos, the Nuggets, the Avalanche, the Rockies, the NCAA, and the NFL, and KFKA. And we aren't changing anytime soon. We have the sports broadcast you need on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.